Welcome to Highway Christian Community's Sermon Download. Our aim is to reveal from Scripture just how good God really is. Find more of our sermons and other links, as well as contact details, at our website, www.highway.org.za. That's highway.org.za. May this sermon bless you. Enjoy.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Rich. Morning, church. What a wonderful morning. Wow. I wonder if we can stand up together. And just want to thank you, Lord, right now for a wonderful sense of your presence. As we walked in here this morning, I could just feel I'm at the right place with the church of God in praise to you. And I thank you this morning that we have come in a corporate anointing where our lives can be touched and changed and transformed. So, Lord, we ask for ourselves, give us ears to hear, give us hearts to receive, give us minds to absorb the word that you have for us. Don't you want to just lift up your hands right now and just say after me, Father God, open up my heart to understand your purposes and plans for this season, for this city, for this nation, and for this planet, that I'm living here for such a time as this. You be glorified in all the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Amen. Just as you take your seats, we looked very briefly last week at the fact that it's our praise that brings us into a place of a spirit of worship that comes upon us. Because often in our praise, we are making declarations about things. Like, did you notice this morning when we came in at 9 o'clock and began to praise, there was at one stage where we started saying together, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can, someone might hear that being repeatedly declared. Who can stop the Lord God Almighty? Who can stop the, and think, but we're supposed to be worshiping God, singing to God. Why are we just making declarations? Well, that's what praise does. You see, praise is something we do. We speak to our soul and say, don't be discouraged. Declare the goodness of God. Declare how great he is, how wonderful. We're speaking about his goodness, about his provision, about his healing, about his saving. So that's an atmosphere of praise. And as we will to praise, it's something we have to enter in. It's something we have to offer a sacrifice of praise. We do it. We will to do it, if you like. In that environment, a spirit of worship will come upon us. But praise, let's look at this topic of praise, because the Bible has a lot to say about it. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, say thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. It's something that praise does as we come. And in the early church, we saw this, that they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number daily those who are being saved. That's what happens in an environment of praise. The Lord is adding to that number. Reasons we praise. In Peter it says, you are a chosen people. Say, I'm chosen. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that we may declare the praises of him who's called us out of darkness into his glorious light. And Colossians says, we give thanks to the Father who has qualified. Say, he's qualified. He's qualified you to share an inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. There's a whole lot of reasons to give thanks to God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Say, I'm blessed. Who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Now, when do we praise? Well, the Bible says, I will extol the Lord at all times. Say, all times. His praise will be on my lips. My soul boasts in the Lord. Let the afflicted, see, even when we're afflicted, let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all of my fears. Even when there's things to fear, is a good time to praise. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called out to the Lord and heard him, and he saved him out of all of his troubles. Are there troubles in our life? It's a good time to be praising. Hebrews 13 says, through Jesus Christ, let us, how often? Continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess. Continually. And Thessalonians says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How are we to praise? Speaking and singing, it says in Ephesians. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, in speaking and in singing. What happens when we praise? Firstly, we are filled. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were filled. Say, filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Something else that happens when we praise, walls come down. We see the picture in the Old Testament of Jericho. And Joshua says, when you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout, and then the wall of the city will collapse. There's a warfare that takes place while we are praising. It's not something we have to direct our praise at directly. Praise is not only about warfare, but while we're praising God, giving thanks, he is fighting on our behalf. The battle belongs to the Lord. We see how God fights for us in Chronicles. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab. This was at Jehoshaphat's time, when Jehoshaphat got a word from the Lord saying, send the military in, but have it preceded by worshippers and those making a joyful noise and playing on the tambourines and the harps and musical instruments and singing and declaring, great is the Lord, his mercy endures forever and ever. And while they went in, they invaded and were defeated. Something else happens while we're praising is that we enlarged. The prophetic word, if you hear last Sunday morning, you will remember from Isaiah 54, sing, O barren woman. What happens while we're singing, even in our barrenness, even in our hardship, even in our dissatisfaction and discomfort, while we're singing, the Bible says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch the curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right. Who wants to see expansion in the kingdom? Who wants to see souls saved and churches enlarged and bursting their seams and running to multiple services? It comes out of a place of enlargement. Something else happens while we're praising is we are built up. But you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We pray in our understanding and we pray in the Spirit. We sing in our understanding and we sing in the Spirit. Sometimes it's our own language, English or Zulu or whatever language you speak. Other times we're praying and declaring in a language that's given to us by the Holy Spirit. And we are being encouraged to keep praying in the Holy Spirit. If you are not born again, you need to be born again so you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be speaking in tongues and in the understanding. Because when we speak in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit who searches the mind of God draws deeply into the well of the mysteries of God. And God will cause us to have revelation on that mystery when the need arises. When we need a wisdom that's not just based on the wisdom of this world and the rulers of this world, but from God. And we need to plummet deep into the spirit realms of God by praying in the Spirit on every occasion, building ourselves up. Amen. So if we are full of the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. If you are one who's been baptized and does speak in tongues, speak more. Exercise the muscle of praying in other tongues. Maybe that's why my jaw's been sore this week. But I've been just praying a little bit more. Because if I'm honest, you know, of course I pray in the Spirit. But you know, it's mostly in the understanding. Of course I sing in the Spirit, but mostly in the understanding. And I've just made a decision that if I have got an access to the very one who searches out the thoughts of God, because who knows the thoughts of a man except the Spirit is in the man, Corinthians 2 says. Likewise, who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? And we have not received the Spirit of this world, but the Spirit who comes from God, that we may know what God has freely given us. And this is what we teach, and this is what we proclaim, not in words given by human wisdom, but there's a wisdom in God that we draw on praying in the Holy Spirit. And Psalm says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, yet I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. Hallelujah. Praise raises us up into a place of victory. Why are we praising? God is fighting our enemies. We don't even know it, but while we're declaring, nothing can stop the Lord Almighty. God is saying, keep praising me, church. Keep praying me in understanding. Keep praying in your spirit. Because while you're praising, sometimes just short little phrases like, you're awesome. You're wonderful. God is my rock. He's my redeemer. God is my fortress. God is my savior. As we declare those words, every time we declare them, they come packed with new meaning and new understanding. It's not just vain repetition. How many times have you told your wife you love her? Only once? 1,000 times maybe. Every time it comes in a new context, with a new feeling, with a new impact, it comes with a new understanding. So it should be with us. Even when we're saying things like, praise the Lord. God is my healer. God is my savior. God is wonderful. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? He's powerful in all his ways. Even in that, it's not just vain repetitions. It comes with a new boldness, with a new clarity. Can you say amen? That's why we come into church on a Sunday morning and enter His gates with praise. That's why it's sometimes a little bit disconcerting when I see people still coming in at 9:45 on a Sunday morning. Because they missed a really good opportunity to give some praise. Now I understand sometimes, you know, you drove over the neighbor's cat and you had to go and apologize to them before the service, or, you know, the gate closed on you or something. You know, stuff happens, and it's not to live all embarrassed and say, well, I better not go to church now because I'm late. No, that's not the point. But if every time we gather together at 9:00, you arrive at 15 minutes late, then just pretend church started at 9:15. Now, that's not difficult. Or if you're in the habit of arriving at 9:30 every Sunday, pretend church started at 8:30. And then when you get here at 8:30, there's a prayer meeting waiting for you. So go and knock yourself out. But come on, if you invited me to have a cup of coffee with you at the Wimpy, and we said we agreed on 10:00, if I arrived there 20 past, you'd probably think I'm a little unthoughtful. Amen? Not a heavy, just a sobriety check in the church. We start at 9:00 and we start praising. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your hearts and into His courts with praise. It's not just a full time to get onto the real stuff. It is the real stuff. God is fighting some battles in the heavenlies that we can't even see with the natural eyes, but it's taking place around us. Come on, can you say amen? So, praise changes the atmosphere. There's been a lot of talk about atmosphere lately. You see, there's an atmosphere around the earth. It's air. But there's an atmosphere in heaven. It's called the presence of God. And that's why we pray, let it be on earth as it is in heaven, because we want to change the environment we're in at work. Because not everyone we work with is spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-loving, Jesus-praising. And we are responsible to change the atmosphere. And we are atmosphere changers as we learn to praise, as we learn to give Him thanks. Amen. It's foolish to try and fight our own battles when the Lord says, I am the Lord, I will fight for you. Go into work a bit early if there's stress and friction. If you think the church isn't doing a good job and you've got lots to complain and grumble about, get you a bit early and pray. Speak into the environment.
Ask him to help the preacher be shorter, not so long. So, praise creates a place where we then move from willing to praise and give thanks to where a spirit of worship comes into the place. Where we don't will to worship. You don't get up and say, I'm willing to worship now. You can will to praise, but there comes a stage where you're just enwrapped and caught up with the beauty and the splendor of Jesus. And we begin to worship. Can you discern that difference? You kind of just suddenly it happens. And okay, our praising never comes to an end. Even in heaven, we're going to be praising the Lord. When it comes to worship, first of all, it's a place where intimacy happens. In the Song of Songs, it says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Your love is more delightful than wine. Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured forth. Now, some men, if you're nervous around that language, you just better get used to it. Because heaven's going to be full of this. I loved some of those old worship songs. They were quite simple to sing. And they were easy to remember. Like, his name is as perfume poured forth. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Your name is as ointment poured forth. Easy to remember and just beautiful to sing. Or how about, I'm going to take you back on a little trip into nostalgia here. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Jesus Christ. See how good that is? Just to come into his presence. The Father says he's looking for worshipers. Amen. Amen. He's looking for worshipers. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Come on, isn't that beautiful? David got lost in worship on the mountainside. And while he was worshiping, he wrote these psalms. I think sometimes we can get so caught up in worship, we could also write psalms. And I loved some of these old worship songs that captured the words of the psalms. And I want to encourage you to read the psalms regularly, because there's a vocabulary in there that comes to mind when we praise and when we worship. Come, let us worship and bow down. Bible says that God is looking for those who will worship. He's looking, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. God seeks such that will worship him. Come on, if God is seeking worshipers, it's not because he's megalomaniac God and desperately in need of people to sing to him. He knows we are transformed into his likeness because we worship him. You know, word, you become like what you worship. Yeah, a lot of people look like a rugby ball simply because it's what they're worshiping. Sometimes people look like the Spur restaurant because the Spur restaurant is what they're worshiping. And I'm sucking my stomach in really hard at this point. But it's true, we become like the object of our worship. That's why my wife looks so much like me. No, that's not true. The thing we worship is very important in life. If our worship is directed to the God of creation, who's outside of time and space, we are being transformed. And he says he's seeking our worship. He wants those who will worship him. Let's move on a little bit. Hey, Bill, we need to teach people how to hear the voice of God. So important. And this next one is that when we come into praise, we praise until a spirit of worship comes, and then we worship until the glory manifests. The glory is the environment of heaven, like air is the atmosphere of earth. When we step into that place of worship and we just get lost in his presence, it's like the orchestra, the conductor brings the orchestra to a quiet. And in that moment, we're caught up, we're like in a rapture of just His awesome splendor and His majesty. There's a place in worship where we begin to hear Him speaking to us. If praise is us saying things about God, about His salvation, about His healing, about His goodness, about His power, worship is a place where we speak to Him and call Him our beloved. We call Him as our intimate object of worship, but in glory. It's almost like we want to be quiet and just be saturated as God shows us Himself and begins speaking to us. And the best teaching, Bill, we're gonna put a teaching on how to hear the voice of God. We're gonna have a CD for 1 hour that's got nothing on it. Okay. How'd you like that? How to hear the voice of God? Put it on 1 hour silence. Might be the best teaching you've ever heard on how to hear the voice of God. But in the glory realm, that's the glory is His presence. It's a place where we quiet and He speaks to us and He shows us His face. The Bible says that He filled the temple so much that when the priests withdrew from the holy place and the cloud filled the temple of the Lord, and the priests could not perform their service because the cloud of the glory of the Lord filled His temple. His glory manifests like the angel of the Lord that appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's something that can even be seen at times as heaven breaks in and invades our physical worlds around us. And it says that it can also be seen. You remember Stephen when he was being killed, martyred. It says he was full of the Holy Spirit and he looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He wasn't dead yet. He wasn't seeing Jesus and the glory of God because he was dead. He was still living. But there's almost a place where we see into something that is beyond just our five senses and what we can compute and understand in this physical realm. His promise, I think there was one before that. Yes, the glory transforms. It says in Corinthians, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces or reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And there's a promise that this glory is going to cover the earth. In Isaiah 40 it says, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And in Habakkuk it says the same, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And it's going to endure forever. This glory is going to endure forever. It says in Revelation 21, at the end of the book, this is at the end of the book, if you want to jump and read the end of the book, the city itself does not need the sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God, the atmosphere of God, the environment of His presence gives it light, and the Lamb is its light. Glory that is continual, glory that persists as we come into that place and experience the Holy Spirit transforming us from glory to glory. Amen. God has got a different perspective of your world you're living in right now. He's very concerned about your world. Let me just say that. God is very concerned about our city. Did you know that? He's very concerned about our nation. But there's a big difference between us and Him, is that God has a different perspective. And something about getting into His presence, getting into a place where the glory of God is tangible, where I start seeing and hearing and feeling and being transformed, God begins to unload things into me from His perspective. It's like flying 35,000 feet above the city. I always look out. Do you, when you fly over Durban, look, try to see your house on a clear day? It looks so minuscule. Even the pavilions, like this little toy box. I go, is that it? Is that the whole pavilion? Durban. Beachfront looks magnificent for miles. But Durban, just this little area. Things change when you're at 35,000 feet. Things change when you look at it from God's perspective. And we unfortunately are locked into living in this world so much, being bombarded with the media so much, that our perspective is out of proportion. And the enemy's task is to keep it out of proportion. Because as long as we're seeing it from our perspective, we're not going to see the victory behind it. We're not going to see what God's glory can do when the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. Jim Irwin was one of the three astronauts that the Apollo landing on the moon, the first men to walk, Armstrong being one of them. But Jim Irwin said when he stood on the moon and he looked back at the earth, what struck him the most was that it looked like a little golf ball floating in this big blackness. And as he looked at this little golf ball, it struck him that all of the inventions that we'll ever know, all of the discoveries we can ever make, all of the love stories that can ever be written, all of the beautiful children that can ever be born, but everything in our consciousness is limited to this little golf ball floating in this huge black eternal space. And he says, his words, that he was so enwrapped by this emotion when he realized a different perspective, but that the God of creation would be willing to become like one of them and die for them and come and live with them to save them, that he purposed in his heart from that moment when he got back to earth, he'd go around for the rest of his life telling about this God who sent his son Jesus, who was a man God in the flesh, who would live the perfect life that you and I could never live, that would die the death that we deserve to die, but don't have to because we put our faith and our trust in him. And he literally carried a golf ball around with him. And when he got to a place and a conversation would be struck up, because he was like quite a big deal, you know. You know, I'm Alec Marot, oh really. I'm Steve Wheeler, oh really. I'm Dave Gibbon, oh really. I'm Bill. I'm Jim Irwin. What? One of the three astronauts? He'd take his golf ball out and he'd throw it up and say, let me tell you a story. And he started to share the gospel about this amazing God who limited himself to flesh on this little golf ball because of his great love for us. The glory changes perspective. Can we stand up together? The glory changes our perspective. The glory changes the atmosphere. In our worship, in our praise, God says, I will fight your battles for you. If you're standing here this morning and you've never known Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been born again, then can I pray for you right now? And I pray, Father, that you'd bring a revelation of your salvation to these people. Anybody standing here this morning saying, I have not been born again, just say after me in your heart now, Father, I believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And I believe that through his blood, my sins have been completely forgiven. And that Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit as a gift. So I receive that gift right now. And if you're a believer, but you're not in a good place in your spontaneity of praise, in your environment of worship, then right now, don't you want to just lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me afresh. I want to be a worshiper. I want to be a worshiper. I want to live in the glory. And my friend, if you're here this morning and you're in a good place and you're in a spacious place and God is real to you, then I want to encourage you more and more. Draw from the well. Draw from the well of the mysteries of God by praying in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues. Worshiping in tongues. So that God will make known to you the wisdom of his mysteries as the Spirit searches the mind of God, the greatest search engine on this planet, searches the mind of God, makes it known to you at a level where you are uttering forth mysteries and not even knowing what you're saying. But God is depositing wisdom, doing warfare, intercession, and building you up.